Come on, just say thank you to God for something this morning. Just say, God, thank you for being with me this morning. God, thank you for being in this house this morning. Jesus, we declare your name over every situation that we face. God, we declare the name of Jesus across this service right now. Just close your eyes and stay in the presence of God. Just for a moment, just be aware of his presence. Just wherever he is for you right now. Maybe you've never experienced the presence of God. Maybe he's not really part of your world. But if you could, just take a minute and see if you can find where he is. God's presence, his Holy Spirit in us, around us, behind us, in front of us, protecting either side of us. Now take a big breath. God, we're here. Our hearts are open. Our ears are open. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before you sit down, how good was that? How long did that take? 5 seconds? Just to breathe. Just to breathe. So now you can sit down. Well, good morning. Good morning. Thank you. That's a better good morning. For those people who don't know me, my name is Alicia, and I get to preach the last message on oxygen. How good is that? All right. No pressure at all. No pressure at all. So we've been talking about prayer for the last month, and this morning I want to bring another element to the messages that we've been hearing about prayer. Because there's so many ways to pray. Who knows that? And if you actually study prayer in the Bible, so many ways, so many things that we can do when we pray. We can have structured prayers. We can have time set aside. We can have silent prayers, public prayers, corporate prayers. We can fight through battles in prayer. We can push it and be persistent in prayer. Sean was talking last week about every morning just opening his heart towards God in prayer. Brian was talking about carrying a dream in your heart in prayer before God. And something I want to talk to you today about, I could talk about a range of things, but today I want to talk to you about praying continually. So I want you to turn to someone next to you and say, don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. And probably given that I'm preaching, try not to, because you could be here for a while. Nah. So I'm going to go straight to the scripture. If you've got a Bible with you this morning, jump, grab it out, share it with the person next to you. We're going to jump to 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And when we get to that, we're going to go to verse 16. And this is a verse that was written to the church. And in verse 16 it says this. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So let's read it together. Ready? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Right, got it? Okay, do it. Done. That's all I need to say today. That's my message. That's it. Thank you. That's really good, isn't it? Sometimes we read scripture and we say, oh, that's a good scripture. We won't really do it, not in real life, but it's a great scripture. Because that scripture says, always be joyful. Now, I like a bit of fun, but maybe can't maintain the whole joyful presence all of the time. I love to pray, but really? Don't stop? Never? At any point? Really? What about being thankful in all circumstances? So sometimes we can discount scriptures to say, well, great scripture, I like most of it, but practically that's not realistic. Or maybe when you read something like that, you feel either frustrated that you can't or guilty that you don't. I always used to think that if I talk to God continually, which I do, and I'm sure he finds it very amusing sometimes. But did anyone ever see that Kit Kat ad back in the 80s or 90s where the friend Shirley, who is it? Is it Shirley, Sharon, somebody or other, rings up a friend and she's like, oh, blah, 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 on the phone. And the lady just takes the phone over to the parrot and puts the phone in front of the parrot. And the parrot says what? Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Does anyone remember that Kit Kat ad? Yeah, one of the all-time classics. My husband loved that ad because then when Alicia came home and went, ah, blah, 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 he'd just go, oh, I know. Oh, I know. To which I would get so angry, I'd be trying to swing at him and he'd just hold me by my forehead and my arms aren't quite long enough to reach him. But maybe we think God's like that sometimes when we pray. He just goes, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. And he's not really listening. And I'm not sure. I think maybe sometimes I thought, well, maybe I'll only talk to God when it's important enough. When it's kind of, you know, reaches the point where I want him to listen. Or maybe I have to construct it in such a way that he will listen. That, you know, if everyone else is praying at the same time, how is he going to hear me? And I've got this question for you. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone that you've stopped speaking to? Or maybe tried to have a relationship with somebody that you've bottled up some stuff inside and you can't talk to them about it. I know that happens, and I know what happens to relationships when we stop talking. In fact, when we have a relationship with somebody, we quite often study it in marriage type things. It's the echidna and the rhino. Anyone heard about the echidna and the rhino in terms of handling conflict? So the rhino, when there's conflict in a relationship, you'll just go straight to it and blurt it all out and share what you think and make sure that they are very clear about your point of view. Amen, says the rhinos in the house. The echidna in a relationship will just go along, not say anything, think a whole lot of stuff, keep their thoughts to themselves, keep their hurts to themselves, all quiet, quiet, and then all of a sudden they explode and the spikes go out. Yes? I didn't hear any amens from the echidnas in the house. But you know who you are. You know what it's like when you bottle it all up and then all of a sudden it's coming out. My son did this once. He was about 3. And I was like, come on. I think it was Jack. I can't remember. Jack and Henry kind of get blurred. It might have actually been Henry. He's more of my drama one. And he was about 3 and he was getting his shoes on at the front door. And he totally lost it. He was like, ah! And he threw his shoe against the door and he goes, I can't put my shoes on and you always make me put my shoes on. I don't want to put my shoes on and you always make me get in the car. And I don't even like rice. I said, sorry, darling, and I got down and I got his shoe. It was so funny. I don't even like rice. You see, what happens when you bottle things up is at some point it's going to come blurting out. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yes, all the husbands said amen, because the wife will draw a long bow when they start to share what's really going on. Do you know, prayer is about a relationship with God. And we can approach it either like the Kit Kat ad and expect God to be sitting there saying, oh, I know. Or we can kind of explode as we've kept it all bottled up until the crisis hits, and then all of a sudden our prayers just go blur to heaven with all of it. So how do we find some middle ground? How do we manage these ways in which we communicate in relationships? Part of an effective relationship is to keep a short account, to keep talking all the time and keep a short account. And prayer is no different. You see, when we interact with God and we share things regularly and we share all things, there's a short account between me and Him. And we can stop sometimes the big explosions that happen. Ephesians 6:18 says this. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds. Everyone say all kinds. When I have a relationship with somebody, I'm not always going to speak to them in the same way. I know. My husband would love that if I spoke to him the same way all the time. And most of the time, I'd be like, darling, hi, you look fabulous. Everything's great. He would love that. But that's not the reality of relationship. The reality of relationship is that we need to express ourselves in different ways about different things all the time. And it's the same in prayer. All kinds of prayers about all types of situations. All kinds of requests. So you can survive 6 weeks without food, about 3 days without water, about 3 minutes without oxygen. Your spirit can only survive a short period of time if it's not breathing. If I'm not breathing on a regular basis, keeping short accounts with God, in and out and in and out. Prayer is your spirit breathing. Now, for some of you, you know me pretty well after being up here for a few years. For some of you, you don't know me at all, but I just give you a little brief introduction to my family. Mark and I had our first child in 2007. And initially when we had the diagnosis for our first pregnancy, it wasn't good. At the 20-week scan, it wasn't good. And they said, your son doesn't have a hand, but usually hands aren't necessarily reflective of just a hand. Normally it's connected to some kind of heart defect or a syndrome or whatever. And so Mark and I went on this journey of going from a young married couple with, you know, who were busy doing life to, let's have a baby, that'll be fine, to this moment in time where I felt like I couldn't breathe. You know those moments in life where you feel like you can't breathe? You feel winded for a moment. Like some circumstances come out of the blue and punched you so hard in the chest that all of a sudden you can't breathe. And life can do that to your spirit. Sudden experiences of fear or anger, losing faith, feeling hurt. It's like our spirit gets winded. It's like all the air gets sucked out and you don't have any more ability to breathe. So prayer in those moments. I couldn't structure prayer in that moment. I couldn't do a formal sort of, dear God, thank you for the day today, da 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 da. The only squeak I could get out of my winded spirit was, God help me. Anyone know what I'm talking about? But But even that is a little breath. Even that is an exchange of breathing before God. To navigate this life, we've got to keep connected to the source and try and keep our breaths going, regardless of what's happening. See, one of the key things in my whole walk with Jesus has been to realize there was a moment in time where I realized that I could talk to God at any time about anything that was going on. When you get that revelation for yourself, your whole relationship with Him will be completely transformed. It's like a cork gets pulled out of the bottle. See, I realized that God didn't need a recipe. He didn't need a structured prayer. He didn't need me to do it at church. He didn't need me to do it in a way that was consistent with some kind of theology. He didn't need me to get so many people together. He didn't need me to stand on one leg. He just needed an authentic heart reaching out to Him. If you come back to our scripture today, I want to show you something that's so profound in that linking of those three things. Always be joyful. Never stop praying and being thankful. This scripture, as much as we think it's an instruction about action, this scripture is summarizing a posture, a way of being. And how can we be thankful in everything? How can we be joyful in everything? And the middle bit there is never stop praying. You see, as you go about through your day, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, this is about a posture of being aware of God's presence and interacting with Him like breath as you go through your day. And when we do that, it doesn't matter what circumstance comes past, because as a circumstance comes past, I'm talking to Him about it constantly. And out of that, I recognize that I have the ability to talk to the God of heaven because of what His Son did on the cross for me. And out of that comes a thankfulness. And because I'm talking to Him about whatever's happened during my day, there's a joyfulness that's not bound in my situation, but it's bound in the fact that I have a God who's interested in my world and He's listening to me. So those three things are not three separate instructions. They are brought together in this intertwined way of being. Is that as I breathe God in and God out, God in and God out, then He's there. That turns whatever I'm doing into a joyfulness on the inside that He's there and a thankfulness that He's going to guide me through whatever I'm facing. One John and chapter 3, verse 19 to 20 says, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything." Just think about that for 1 second. Half the time I don't pray to God because I don't either know what to say or I don't think He really wants to know what I'm really thinking. Well, guess what? He knows everything. He knows what happened. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the whole thing. And so we can share our heart. Many of the Psalms are like this crazy journey through David's emotional mayhem. The Psalms are kind of this person pouring out their heart before God. Everything from anger to frustration to joy and victory and thankfulness and hurt and despair. I love the Psalms. because it's a depiction of a real person pouring out all of their heart before God. Anne Lamont, and there's some things that Anne says that are a bit, I'm not sure, but this one she did, this thing she did say, and I really like it. She said, think of prayer, your daily, continual prayer like this: wow, thanks, help. That's great. As I go through my daily life, wow, God, check that out. Thanks, God, that was amazing. And God, can you help me with this? It's a really nice model for keeping our daily prayers going. Bill Johnson says to pray is to be constantly aware and respond to the presence of God in a spirit of wonder, gratitude, and vulnerability. Can I have the musicians, please? I think this morning, I just wanted to give you one scripture. I just wanted to give you one thought. But sometimes the most profound, simple things can transform your life. And this morning, it's about recognizing that we can pray continually. That the presence of God goes with you in every second of every hour of every day. He's with you. Scripture says he won't leave you, won't forsake you. He's not going anywhere. He's there. There are times in your life where you will need prayer. You'll need to fight in prayer. You'll need to take yourself away and devote time to just you and God. But the other side is to walk wherever you are in a constant breathing dialogue with Jesus. You can find him at any moment of any day, in any circumstance. Whether you're winded, whether you're breathing at ease, whether you're working hard, whether you're taking time out, he's there. This transformed my life. Transformed my life. I remember a friend came up to me once, and she was in this church, and she had a gift of words of knowledge and prophecy, and she came up to me and she said, I've got a word from God for you. And I was like, really? Awesome. What is it? She said, God thinks you're funny. I said, what? She goes, I don't know why, but I felt the need to come and tell you that God thinks you're funny. I'm like, that's it? God, of all the things, all the profound things, thou shalt, Alicia, you are called for great purpose. No, God thinks you're funny. So... there's a point to this story. And anyway, she walked off and I was like, God, what was that about? I mean, I know church is weird sometimes, and it is, but that was really weird. And I went and had a coffee. She lives in Queensland now, and I caught up with her a couple of weeks ago. And I said, do you remember when you had that word for me? And she said, I remember. She said, wasn't that weird? I'm like, it was weird. But do you know what it did? All of a sudden, I became acutely aware that God knows all about me and appreciates everything about me. He created me. And therefore, when I thought I was funny, I could share that with him. And when I got mad, I could share that with him. And when I was sad and over it, I could share that with him. And when I had something great happen, I could share that with him. And when my friend needed something, I could share that with him. And I began this unlocking of a door of, it doesn't matter where I am in the condition of my heart, I can share it with him because I keep a short account. And so your prayers begin to say, God, I'm really angry. Help me. Lord, I didn't handle that well. Please forgive me. Short accounts. Give me another breath. Give me another sense of your presence. Help me walk this journey again. My prayer for us this morning is that we would become acutely aware of who God is in our world every second of every day. And my prayer for you this morning, if you don't have that walking with God thing going on, let me tell you, it's not for the well-behaved. It's not for the religious. It's for every single one of us that has a heart after him. That's all you need, is a heart that's just searching to share that with him. Let's put that scripture back up again. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. But there's another bit. For this is the will of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's will for you, what he wants for you, is that you would walk in a poise of joy and thankfulness and constant community with him. That's his will for you. How great is that? When we unpackage that scripture, it turns more from a set of instructions that are unachievable to a way of life. To know, God, you actually want this for me. You want me to walk in your presence every day. You want me to seek out you in everything that I'm doing. That's your will for me. And out of that place, I'll live in joy and I'll live in thankfulness. And the whole platform on which I stand will be changed. Amen. Prayer is your connection. It's your lifeline. It's your oxygen. It's your breath to the God who created you, who knows you intimately, who can direct you, can set your path, steady your hand, set your feet. Let's just close our eyes. I'm just going to give you some time. If you've never done this before, it's all right. I sat in church and I hadn't done it before either. But I figured while everyone else was closing their eyes, I'd give it a go. And the first thing I said to God was, God, I don't even know if you're real. And I felt something on the inside of me say, I am. The next thing I said was, God, there's a few things in my life that I've got to sort out. And I'm trying my best. And I'll figure it out. I'll sort it out. And the next thing I felt in my spirit, God said, let me help. God's will for you is that you wouldn't perish, that you'd have eternity to live with him after death. His will is that you would experience His love on the inside of you, that you would experience His forgiveness, that you would experience His hope in your world. That's His will for you. He went to the most extraordinary lengths to give us this oxygen to our spirit. He went to such lengths to give up His only Son. And when Jesus died on that cross, He took all the stuff. He took every human experience that anyone could have. And He said, the consequence of these experiences, it's finished. And by My death and My resurrection, there is a way again for us to come into the presence of God, fully forgiven, full of confidence that Jesus has done what needed to be done. That gives me joy on the inside. All it takes is just a little breath, a little prayer. And that prayer is just simply this. Jesus, thank You for what You did on the cross for me. Forgive me for everything that's gone on in my past. Every sin, every time I've missed the mark, forgive me. I want You, Jesus, to come into my life. That's the first breath of my spirit. It's just the first breath of my spirit. If that's you this morning, we're going to pray that all together, all of us here. But if you're praying that for the first time, while all the eyes are closed, every head's bowed, if you're going to pray that for the first time this morning, you just raise your hand and I'm just going to see it. And I'm going to acknowledge it. It's just an acknowledgement before God this morning to say, I'm going to pray that prayer for the first time this morning. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to ask God to come into their world, that wants to let their spirit breathe? Just put your hand up and put it straight back down again and I'll see it and I'll acknowledge it this morning. Is there anyone here? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning that's going to pray that prayer for the first time? Say, God, my spirit, it's stuck. I feel like I'm winded. I feel like I can't breathe. Jesus, I need You in my life. Is there anyone else here this morning that wants to join with these three people? Thank You, Jesus. Church, we're all going to pray this morning, all together. Go, let Your spirit breathe. Let Your spirit breathe. So let's just pray together. Dear Jesus, thank You for what You did on the cross. For taking my punishment. For wiping my past. For forgiving me. Thank You for Your love. That You loved me so much that You would do that for me. Jesus, I ask You to come into my life. I open up my heart and I open up my spirit to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stand in His presence this morning. I haven't had much time to breathe over the last month. Anyone else with me? Not much time to breathe. Plenty on. Let's just sing just quickly. It is well with my soul. And I just, God only needs 5 seconds, 10 seconds for us to breathe in His presence. Be aware of Him here.